Hey, have you ever wondered how to take all the things that you're interested in and the skills that you have and put them all together and find your way in the world? Well, that's what today's guest on the Strongpreneur podcast has done. His name's Jeff Sanders. And for a while, he was walking around life clueless, wondering what he was supposed to do. And it's something I hear from so many people that are burned out or bored with what they're doing, and they're looking for a change. And so today, Jeff and I dig in, and we talk about some things that he was interested in. You know, he's really interested in personal development and productivity and health and fitness and all that good stuff. And so what he did is he took all those things, put it together, and created the 5 a.m. Miracle podcast, where he helps people with exactly those things: how to be more productive in their life, how to be healthier, and how to be stronger as individuals. So I thought he was a perfect guest to have on today's show. So please welcome Jeff Sanders to the Strongpreneur podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Strongpreneur podcast. My name is Tom Reber from motorheart.com. And today I'm super excited to have my guest Jeff Sanders on. He's the host of the 5 a.m. Miracle podcast, which is ranked number one in iTunes in the self-help and business categories. He's been nominated for tons of awards, and he's an author and a coach and doing some pretty cool things. And so I thought he was going to be a great fit to have on the Strongpreneur podcast. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well, Sal. I'm great to be here today.
Yeah, so you're down in Nashville. I'm outside of Chicago right now, and it's funny. I seem to be talking to a lot of people in Nashville lately over the last couple months, so it sounds like you got a lot of cool things going down in that city, man.
Yeah, Nashville is a hot spot right now for podcasters and creative people and entrepreneurs, and it's really amazing like how this city has grown. Like, beyond music, it's also known for, you know, like a real creative side with business. I think podcasting is definitely a part of that, so it's great to be here.
Well, cool. So tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and how you're, you know, how you're impacting the world, man.
Sure. I have a website at jeffsanders.com that I started about 3 years ago, and that's where I have a blog. I've got the 5 a.m. Miracle podcast, and that whole business was really developed. Kind of, if you back up the story a little bit, before that, I had a blog that I had called Graduating Clueless, and that was my attempt to figure out what I wanted to do with my life after I graduated college. And I had that blog going because I was trying to figure out like who I was and try to help other people at the same time. And while doing that, I wrote a book all about that same experience. And I still, after doing that blog and that book for like 2 or 3 years, I still had no clue what I was doing. I still felt really kind of like I was on the right track. I knew I had certain pieces of my life put together. You know, I graduated with a degree in theater and psychology, which those two together equal no job whatsoever. It's really kind of useless. And so I knew that I had these interests, I had these skills, but like I was trying to figure out how to put them all together. And so once I finished with Graduating Clueless and realized that kind of phase of my life needed to end, the question was, where do I go from there? I knew I wanted a personal brand was really kind of the direction I wanted to head because I liked the idea of doing public speaking and doing coaching, but I wanted to figure out like what to put it all around. And I realized that the personal brand, I could have that with the website and then talk about the things that I'm interested in, which at the time happened to be personal development, productivity, health and fitness. And so I wrapped all those concepts together and ended up kind of packaging that into what is now the 5 a.m. Miracle podcast, where I discuss those same concepts just with a little more intentionality behind it and a little more answers figured out at this point than what I used to have. But really, that's kind of what I do now is I help people with their productivity, with their health, with their energy, and all of that based on this concept of waking up early at 5 a.m. because that's what I have found in my life to be the best way to start your day. And when I wake up early, I'm then able to tackle those goals that I have and really pursue whatever it is I'm trying to work on, whether it's a self-awareness work that I've done recently or whether that's, you know, a business that you're growing or a marathon you're training for. And I've done lots of these things in the past. It really is just, yeah, personal experimentation, trying to figure out who I am. And so turning that process into a business is really what I've done. And that's been a phenomenal journey. It's been very interesting and very crazy, but I really enjoy it now.
You know, when I first hit your website a couple months ago, I mean, it's just done a great job because it immediately it's, you know, it says dominate your day before breakfast. And I was like, well, that sounds cool. Tell me more.
You know, exactly.
Because that's, you know, how many people that we all know that self included that struggle with productivity and, you know, whether you want to call it time management or priority management or whatever, it seems to always be a hot topic. And so I think it's great that you're trying to address that in people's lives. So what do you, you talk to a lot of people, a lot of groups do a lot of writing, podcasting, all this stuff. And so I know that you're in the thick of this. What do you see as some of the most common obstacles to people overcoming these issues of productivity?
I think one of the biggest issues is that we are all overcommitted. I think it's so easy to say yes. It's so easy to have an iPhone with Facebook, you know, dinging you, and have emails and have, you know, commitments and going places. Like, we've all just kind of allowed ourselves to be busy. And I think that is it's a natural, you know, inclination. Like, we want that to be the part of our lives because society tells us that being busy means you're productive, or having a busy life is a good thing. And it's almost like a really a bad thing to even admit that you had a slow day. It's like, well, why'd you have a slow day? Why'd you get more done? It feels like society tells us we should be busy all the time. And I think one of the parts of my message is that, yes, you can be busy, but really productivity is about doing the right things. And having downtime is a good thing. And when you wake up early and dominate your day before breakfast, well, then if you get your big stuff done early, the rest of the day could be whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be busy. I think that we all kind of have this tendency to want to just do all the time without really thinking about, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? What's the best use of my time? And when you ask those kinds of questions, you get answers that kind of surprise you. And you realize, I could actually do less and get more done. I could actually prioritize my schedule and then end up getting those goals accomplished that I'm trying to accomplish, but without all the stress and the chaos that's usually attached to it. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the goals I try to get across to people, is that really what we're trying to do here is slow the pace, but do the right things and do those every day. If you can't do them early in the day, that's even better. But it really, I think this tendency to want to be too busy really holds everyone back.
So how do you prioritize those big things early in the day when everything seems urgent?
Well, that's a good question. It's pretty subjective, because really your life is your choice. And so you have to decide for yourself what matters the most in my life right now. What am I going to work on? And so I think that having the philosophy of waking up early, for most people, it's going to be a little unusual. Like, if you usually get out of bed at 7 a.m., but now you're going to bed at 5 a.m., you have a 2-hour window there that you could use however you want. And so if you're able to pick even just one thing you know that matters in your life and work on that for 2 hours, that's going to be more progress today than you likely would have made at all, or even this entire week. And so that's kind of the idea, is that you start with that. It could be anything. It could be you're going to wake up and go on a run. It could be wake up and work on a book you want to write, or build a business, or, you know, spend time with your dog, whatever it is you want to do in that time. I think that once you've made a list of, like, here are the things I want to accomplish and here's what I want to prioritize, you just pick something and you go. And over time, you're able to really figure out which things matter most. And it's a constant fluid process. You can't really say, like, well, this one thing matters most, it will always matter. Most of the time, that list is always changing and growing, and there's new opportunities and things to work on. So the way I see it is that every day is a new chance to start again. And so I have these lists that I look through of what matters, but they're always up for grabs. I could change my mind at the last second if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. The real question is, am I going to spend my time and intentionally decide to work on those things that I have chosen that matter most to me today?
So when you personally have a conflict in your head about how you should spend your time, do you have an example of what that debate sounds like in your head, what one side is saying to the other?
I have that debate all the time. And for me, a lot of times it comes down to the debate between how much time I spend working out versus how much time I spend on my business. Because in my life, like, those are my two biggest priorities on a daily basis to make time for. I want to make sure I work out, and I want to make sure I have creative time for the business. And so I'm always asking myself, like, how do I fit these things in? And what does that look like today? Because every day is a little bit different for me, even if I have a set structure. And so, yeah, there's the back and forth kind of battle that goes on between, what do I really want to get done today? And a lot of times that answer is a lot clearer for me with a weekly plan that I've in place to say, well, I'll make time with these time blocks throughout the week. And if I can guarantee that I work on something in those various time blocks, then over the course of a longer period, like a week or 2 weeks or a quarter even, I know that I'll be able to make time for all these goals that matter. But on an individual day, it's not as important to hit them, as long as over the long run, I'm getting there. So the daily battle is asking myself, kind of, where am I in that process, and what needs my attention today? Even if I don't want to do it, if it needs to get done, then I really have to just buck up and do the work.
Mm-hmm. So you touched on fitness there and making time to work out. What connections do you see between working on yourself physically and being the type of person that consistently conquers their day?
I think there's a direct connection between being a fit human being and being productive. So if you want to be the kind of person who gets a lot more work done, you actually have to take time away from the work to exercise. And I know it sounds counterintuitive because you're taking time away from your work, but the reality is that because I work out, I have more energy. And because I exercise, I have the mental fortitude to keep going when I normally would have stopped earlier. And so that to me is the real priority, is to make sure that I get that workout in. I read a book recently, it's called Spark, and it's all about how your brain neurons actually connect more fluidly because of exercise. And you actually have more connections, more neurons firing, and your brain works at its peak level right after a workout. Hmm. And so if in your day, you begin your day with a workout, and the very next thing you do is go work on a difficult mental task, a creative project, that's the best time in your day when your brain is most alert and ready to work. And so for me, that's been kind of a focus. Like, can I get the workout in early in the day? Can I then translate that into working on a creative project right afterwards? And make sure those two things are happening every single day. And if they are, then I know them having the energy and the productivity to be able to really get the work done that matters. And over the long haul, I've got more energy, I'm healthier, I feel better. And then with that, you know, better positive attitude, I want to continue to work. And so these things just kind of, they work together and they build on one another. So exercise and work are really two things that have to come together.
Have you heard of the book, it just came to me when you were talking, and I think it was called Your Brain at Work?
I've heard of that, but I haven't read it yet.
So he talks about, one of the things that jumps out at me is he talks about how we actually only have a certain amount of mental energy each day, and each time you make a decision, you're taking some of that away. You know, kind of like a battery, and which he was making the case for why you need to do those most important things early in the day. So I just thought it was a cool
concept. Yeah. That's similar also to a book called The Willpower Instinct, which is about the same concept that we have kind of this daily allotment of willpower and discipline, and that it does over the course of the day that depletes. And so if you want to take advantage of it, you have to take advantage of it early in the day, because if you're going to say like, well, I'm just going to be motivated to go run a marathon at 9 p.m., it's like you're not going to care at 9 p.m. You're going to be ready to go to bed.
Dude, so you cleared everything up for me. Now I know why I eat chips late at night and I eat good in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's totally true. Like diets always get worse as the day goes on. Yeah. And so that's why I put a strong emphasis in my brand and my life on breakfast, because I know that if you want to make time for a smoothie or make time for a healthy breakfast or healthy meal at all, it has to happen early in the day. Because if you don't do it now, you are not going to do it before bed. It just doesn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm. So you brought up food. You got some interesting eating habits, don't you?
Yes, I'm pretty unique in that respect.
All right, let's hear it. What do you do?
Well, essentially, where I am today is I am what I call a mostly raw vegan. So what that means is that the majority of my diet, so more than half of my diet, is raw food. So that's fruits and vegetables, generally organic produce whenever I can. So a lot of my diet is bananas. A lot of my diet is smoothies. I eat a lot of fruit, a lot of salads. And that's a whole long story before I get into that we can about why I became a vegan. But where I am today is that I put food as a strong centerpiece in my day, along with fitness, to give me more energy, to give me more mental clarity. And so that's a real central part of who I am now. And I really believe that my diet and fitness add up to me being more productive in such a way that I would never be where I am today without it. And so, yes, I eat a lot of bananas. I have a lot of smoothies and I love them. It's just a big part of who I am.
Yeah, it's you crave what you eat, don't you?
Oh, totally. And the more you eat, the more you want it. Yeah.
Yep. I totally relate to that. I did I think it was a 7-day juice fast or juice cleanse that my mm-hmm. wife and I did, I don't know, a year ago or something like that. And I felt like $1 million at the end of that thing.
And yeah.
I was hungry. Don't get me wrong. But, right. But I felt pretty darn good. And then I had another month where my wife's a Packer fan and I'm a Bear fan. And as usual with the Bears loss, so I lost a bet. And the bet was I had to be a vegetarian for a month. And so that was like the second time I did any, you know, what I would consider for me radical food change. And again, at the end of that month, on the first day that I could have meat, where I was allowed to, I chose not to have meat.
Hmm.
So it was,
wow.
And I thought, you know, I'd be running out to grab a big burger or something. And I just like, you know, I don't feel like it today. And I actually felt good dropped some weight and had more energy. So I totally get it, man. I you know, it's just a matter of choices and discipline. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's a journey, too. I mean, where I am today is not where I was 5 years ago, and it's definitely a process. But you're right that the more of what you eat is what you crave, and so if you want to eat more healthy food, you just kind of put it in your mouth and just make yourself eat it for a little while, and then you really do lose those cravings for the food that's less healthy.
So let's talk business a little bit here. You've been at this a while. What do you view, or what's your take on some of the keys to a strong business?
From what I've seen, this is one thing I was very bad at in the beginning. I'm only now getting better at this, which seems kind of ironic now to me thinking back on it. But really where I was in the beginning was I thought of myself as more of a creative. So I was really interested in writing and blogging and podcasting. And then where I am today is much more of, I would say, like more like a businessman. I'm more interested in sales and marketing and producing products and launching those into the market. And so what I've seen in my own journey has been that what works for me in business is to think of myself as a business person and then what can I sell? But not in the sense of just I'm selling to make money. The question is, how am I creating more value for my audience? But thinking about that through the lens of selling things as opposed to the lens of giving away free things. Mm-hmm. Because blog posts are free, podcasts are free, but products that I might create, I would sell. And there are two different categories of items, because the blog posts and the podcasts are great, and they do provide really wonderful free content, but a lot of times they don't go that deep. And a lot of times people aren't as invested in those things because they're free. And so for me, the shift that I've been making is this idea of creating real premium value through the things that I sell, going really deep with those products and making sure that when my audience decides to purchase those, they're really getting amazing value from me. And if I do that over time, create a lot more value through those things I'm selling, then my business will grow naturally because of that, and I'll have a better brand and more exposure, and all those things I'm looking for will naturally happen if I put the emphasis on really creating amazing value and then charging for that value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it there. I mean, just I'm taking notes here. Was always creating more value for my audience. I mean, if you're in the business of always creating more value, and then obviously being focused on sales, because without sales, you don't have a business. You know, you can't help but continue to meet needs and add more value to people, and in turn, it strengthens the business. It's just that cycle. So, what's been your biggest surprise since you become a business owner?
I think for me, I was most surprised that my podcast has done so well. That's one thing that I didn't see coming. I know that, you know, I have a natural skill of speaking to some degree, and people said I have a good radio voice. But outside of that, though, I wanted to create a podcast because I enjoy the art of recording audio. And so I've seen a lot of growth because of that, a lot of personal connections because of the podcast, which is interesting because like this medium of audio production is very intimate and very personal, because most people listen to this with headphones in their ears, and they listen for a lot longer of a time period than they ever would like read a blog post or even a book in some cases. So having the opportunity to develop a podcast and seeing that grow over time has been really amazing to watch, and very surprising to me to see that kind of growth and to know that people want more content, they want better content, and they want it as convenient as possible. And that's one thing that podcasting does a really great job with, and so that's why I'm really glad that I'm a podcaster now, is because that's such a phenomenal place to be if you want to deliver value in an intimate way where you really can go deep if you want to. You can create a lot of great value through that. And so that's what has, I think, really surprised me the most these last couple of years, is just how podcasting has taken off in a global sense, but also in my own business as well.
So you've mentioned the intimate connection a podcast delivers. So several years ago, I started listening. I think the first podcast I started listening to was Pat Flynn's.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my earbud in all the time, you know, every time I was in the car or I'd go for a walk or whatever, and I was just listening to it. And I went to this internet marketing event in Chicago a few years ago, and I remember I got to meet him. There was like this line, you could meet Pat Flynn. And so I hopped in the line to meet Pat Flynn. And when it came my turn, I'm cracking up when I look back on it, because I approached him like he was supposed to know me.
Of course.
Dude, good to see you, man. You know, and like, I felt like I knew him.
Yes.
And it was just, and he's just kind of looking at, he was super cool and everything. And, you know, but I think I was a little in his face because I felt like we were old friends. But it's that intimate connection of, you know, sticking someone's voice in your ear.
Oh, totally. I love that fact, the fact that people really do have the same reaction. I mean, I have the same feeling toward my favorite podcasters as well. Mm-hmm. Like I follow Michael Hyatt a ton, and I've followed him so closely for so many years. If I were to meet him in person, I think I'd creep him out because I know so much about him, and he has no clue who I am. So it's just really funny.
Yeah, I was like a super dork, geeky fan that day, but that's all right. It's par for the course sometimes, I guess. So with, your biggest surprise was your podcast. Has there been something that you would say has been one of your biggest disappointments since you've become a business owner?
I think the lack of probably financial growth I've seen. It's one of the things that I've done, I think, a good job of was creating a lot of content. But like I kind of said before, is this kind of shift towards sales. I think that there's kind of in your back of your mind as you own a business, you want to be this very successful multimillionaire right away. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm on a path to get there, but the pace is just painfully slow for me. Like I'm seeing the growth. It's happening. It's there. But I think that there's so much of me that just wants to be so much further ahead than where I am. And this can apply to anything in business, but I think just me right where I am today, that's what I want to see grow faster. And that's the one thing that's really taking its time. And so I think that over time that it will come about, that it will be a reality for me. But for now, it's kind of viewed as, I wouldn't call it a failure, but I really do feel this sense of loss by not having more of that side of the business that I want. So that means that the next couple of years, that's my focus. That's where I'm headed. But yeah, it's a lot of work to get there. So I don't know. It's just tough.
Well, you're a high-achieving guy, and we tend to compare ourselves to the people that are at the top.
Very true.
And I've found that it's been helpful for me just taking a step back and putting things into context. You know, I remember my accountant a couple of years ago was like, hey, you know, you got to know you've done pretty good for just a couple of years into this. You know, and that was nice to hear because I'm so used to comparing myself to the big boys in the game.
Very true.
And not remembering. And I had a pretty decent sized residential painting company a number of years ago. And I remember one of my biggest struggles was I would always, you know, we were a super young company that, you know, in our first 3 years, we had grown to just under $1 million in 3 years out of a little room in my basement. And I was comparing myself to guys that had been in the game for 20 years. And what I failed to do, looking back now with, you know, crystal clear vision, and seeing is I failed to celebrate the wins on a consistent basis. You know, I was always looking to that next level, looking to that next level, and I wasn't enjoying where I was at. And I know that's pretty cliche, but, you have to enjoy the journey and, you know, feel good about what you've been able to accomplish. And so there's my little soapbox moment, man. So.
No, I guess it's totally true. I think that it's very, very easy to ignore how well you're doing when you know how well you could be doing. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of where I've been. I know that there's moments and like milestones that I've hit that I know are milestones. And I do kind of pause to acknowledge that. But I think you're right. Like, I don't really truly give it what it's due. And I don't really acknowledge how significant these different milestones have been. So yeah, I think that's something to work on and really make sure is a focus going forward.
So you coach and speak and teach. I'm sure you see some things that make you scratch your head sometime and maybe even annoy you. When you work with people in this area of productivity and dominating their day and stuff, are there some things that really seem to frustrate you about people?
People are funny because they're so unique. When you work one-on-one with clients, you work with people who are just, they're in their element and living their very unique life, and they see life through their lens. And we all do this. I mean, it's kind of the natural tendency of how life works, but I think it's very interesting to see that somebody they'll see their life through this one lens, and I'll offer a perspective that's not that same perspective, and they won't get it. And I'll offer it again and again and again, and they just don't seem to get it. And I wonder, well, can I think through their eyes? Can I see the world as they see it? And that's really hard for me to do. And I get frustrated for the fact that I kind of butt heads with people a lot because I just I see my world in my way and they see it in their way. And sometimes it just doesn't align. And that I wish it did more often because it would make things a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a constant struggle, especially even if you're creating content like on a mass scale with lots of people. I mean, making an episode of the podcast, for example, you have to create content that you think will be good for your audience. But your audience is filled with lots of people with lots of opinions, and not everyone's going to love what you produce. And then there's just that always that sense of knowing that whatever I do, whether I love it or I hate it, there's going to be this big mixture of a response to that work. And so I have to be okay with the haters. I have to be, you know, excited about those that love it, but keep it all in perspective and realize that there's a lot of ways to view the world. There's a lot of options on how to do things, and that my way is not always the best way.
Well, you're how long you been married now?
About 5 years.
So you realize your way is not always the best way, right?
But my way is the worst way. Yeah. Very true.
Oh, that's good. So, all right, personal development.
Yes.
You, what aspect of it do you personally struggle with the most?
Ooh, good question. Personal growth for me is... it's one of those things. I love it. Like, I love to read. I love to be a part of it. I think if anything, I have so many ideas in my head, I do very few of them. I think what's the hardest part for me is the fact that I have so many things that I think this place I could be in life, this person that I could become, and the gap between where I am and where I could be is so huge, it's daunting. And so a lot of times that will lead me to doing very little. Even though I have a lot going on, I feel like I'm not really making any growth because I'm trying to do either too many things or doing nothing at all. And it's this constant battle back and forth between making those choices. You know, what do I do today? What matters most? And some days it's obvious, but most days it's really up for grabs. I get to choose today what matters in my life. And it's hard because I want to be this amazing person, this vision of who I could be. And I think a lot of days I feel like I'm not ever really making the traction I want to get there. And so that's the daily struggle, is that how can I put myself in position to grow as much as I want to and be satisfied with that? And I think that's definitely difficult sometimes.
So right now, if you guys are listening to this in the future, well, you will be it will be the future, but it's April 2015. You know, we're a few months into the new year. People made a bunch of resolutions for the year, set a bunch of goals, and I know you're a big goals guy. What do you tell the people right now that have kind of fallen off the goal wagon? What do you tell them now to get back on track?
Well, I've actually changed my perspective on how I approach goals just last December, actually, so about 4 months ago. And the way that I approach it now is basically a quarter system. So my year is actually just 3 months. And so I'm only setting goals now up to basically 3 months or 90 days or 12 weeks, however you want to view it. That amount of time is the window in which I'm going to view my goals. And so because of that, being that it is April, April is the beginning of the second quarter of this year. So if you want to kind of start fresh and start over and just scrap whatever happened, you can do that at any time you want. And that's what's kind of beautiful about goals, is that whatever you had tried to do before and it didn't work, just forget it and start clean today. And I think that doing that allows you the chance to really say, well, today begins, you know, my life begins today. It's all I have is the future and the present. So let's go and make that work. And so now I approach goal setting from the perspective of, here are two or three things that matter a lot to me in the next couple of months. And I'm going to devote all my time to those things and really attempt to make those things work. And using that strategy, just in the first quarter of 2015, I had phenomenal growth in my goals. It was ridiculous how many things I got done that I just didn't do previously. And I love the focus and the simplicity of that system of really saying, like, this is my life in a few months, and I'm going to give everything I can to that time period. And then when it's over, and I go on and have new goals and start over again. And that kind of restart process for me is very refreshing, and I really love the ability to focus so much. And then I think it really does translate to more achievement.
So talk to me. I'm looking at your website right now, and you have a section on here called Recent Bold Action.
Yes.
And I'm looking at your first quarter of 2015. And there's a few things that jump out to me with this, but I'm curious, when you look at this list, is there anything that you're most proud of?
I think what I'm most surprised by is the book contract that I got. Which came about really out of nowhere, because I didn't approach a publisher. I didn't ask to get an agent. I just really had it showed up. A publisher just emailed me out of the blue and said, hey, we're looking for somebody to write a book about productivity in early mornings. Do you want to do a book? And I said yes. And that was basically how that went. So you could really say that's a goal that I'm proud of. I didn't really pursue it. Beyond that, though, I bought a house in the first quarter of 2015, which came about also kind of as a stretch goal for me to really make that work. And so that a lot of my time has been devoted to making the house work, even this quarter as well, to now the actual move-in process and all of that. So yeah, there's been a couple of big things. The first quarter of 2015 was really awesome for me, just from a personal perspective of book contract, house, a nomination for a podcast award, just kind of really cool things that happened all at once.
You read 7 books in 1 month.
I did. That was a big one too. Yeah, that was the most I've ever done. Previously, I think that my best was probably 3 or 3.5. So I basically doubled my previous best. So yeah, a lot of reading in January.
Were those read or audio books?
I read 5 and listened to 2.
There you go. Cool. Yeah, that's a lot of brain food, man. That's awesome.
It is. It was a great way to begin the new year, too. I think that one of the things I was looking for in my new year was just ideas of what I could do with the year. And by reading a whole lot of books, I really got my brain just filled with ideas and filled with content. And I think that was an awesome way to get the inspiration I needed and have the knowledge in place to be able to go and pursue the goals that I'm now working on.
Yeah, you didn't brag about how you surpassed 1 million downloads for your 5 a.m. Miracle podcast, though, so I'll brag on that for you. That's a pretty big deal. I mean, that's a lot of downloads. That's 1 million, man. That's like, 50,000 people a year for 20 years.
That is true.
That's pretty cool.
I've heard this before too, of the idea of like, I now average probably 90,000 downloads per month in my podcast. And I was thinking that in the perspective of if you were a public speaker on a stage and you had an audience in front of you, like to speak to an audience of 90,000 people is an entire football stadium of people. Like it's kind of a ridiculous number and it really blows my mind sometimes because it's just me and a microphone in my room. Like it's not a lot, I'm not talking to an audience directly, but yet that's how many ears end up listening to what I'm saying. And so, yeah, it's a very powerful thing to have a microphone in today's world with the internet. And it's really cool to be able to reach that kind of people. It's awesome.
So since this is my podcast and I get to ask anything I want, and I'm relatively new at this, I've been at this only 3 months now, what advice can you give me or any other new podcaster about how to reach that milestone?
Podcasting is one of those things that I wanted to do for so many years, and I held off on doing it because I wanted the show to be awesome. And I think that one reason why my show has reached 1 million downloads is because from the very beginning, I put quality as my number one priority. And so quality of the audio, quality of the content, quality of the guest I would bring on, I made quality my number one priority. And by doing that, I was really able to make sure I had the equipment ready. I had the training I needed to make sure I knew how to use the stuff, because that's a big hurdle at the very beginning is all the tech specs around it, you know, the microphone, the mixer, and which program you use to upload your files to, and it can get really intense. But that was a big focus. I wanted to make sure I had that right. So that was very helpful, because then in the beginning, people would tune into my show, and at least from the beginning, they could view me as a professional, as someone who truly was taking this seriously. And that's going to give more people the opportunity to listen to you because they think that you're in it for the long haul, which I was. And so I wanted to make sure that I had the quality there and that I was consistent about when my shows came out. So I made the goal of saying once a week was my goal, and I was going to hit that every single week without a doubt. And I think that having that time period every week that someone can look forward to really allows them to look forward to it. And then they're excited about it and they know it's coming and they look forward to that day when your show arrives. And so every week on Monday morning, and someone gets an episode of my show and they've been looking forward to that. They want to hear that show. And I've created that sense because I've told them from the beginning, I'm going to do this every week. It's going to be high quality and you're going to get what you want every single week. And that alone is enough to get people on board and stick around and to love your show because they know what to expect, as opposed to being random and having your show be poor audio quality, or you kind of just do a show whenever you feel like it. You're never going to build a sense of rapport. Raving fans are never going to really happen without that. So from the beginning, my goal is quality and being consistent with my shows coming out once a week. And those two things right away gave me a really great platform to begin with. And then from there, obviously, you have to create great content. You have to actually go out there and find great guests or write great scripts and produce an awesome show on your own. But that came later. That was actually not even the first priority. But once you get there, then you have the chance then to grow and make your show whatever you want to be.
Well, I love that, man. I love what you said about being consistent, and that was one of the things I set out to do. Was I'm going to release this thing every week, every Monday, and so far I've done it, and it's growing, it's going well. So hey everybody, if you're listening, make sure you head over to the 5 a.m. Miracle Podcast and subscribe to it, and give Jeff a listen. He'll certainly challenge your thinking on some things and all that. So, Jeff, what you seem really confident now in this area of personal development and productivity and all that. Was there a time that you weren't?
I think I still am sometimes. No. I think that I was exposed to personal development right after college. My first job was door-to-door sales. And it was, I would call it kind of hell on earth. It was an awful, awful job. But the one amazing part about it was that I was exposed to personal development and reading books to learn and to grow as a person, which I had previously had only viewed books something you had to read for school. It was never this thing you would learn, you would take a hold of just to improve a skill or just to grow as a human being. And so for me, I went through this long period, probably 3 or 4 years, where I was just consuming as much as I possibly could because I felt so behind. I felt like I was missing out on so much of life. And honestly, I probably was in a lot of ways. And then after I read dozens and maybe hundreds of books at that point, a few years later, I got a lot more confidence from there and started to really see that like I knew a lot more than I thought because I had read so much. And that just translated into me taking more action and taking more risks and trying new things. And you know, at that point, I was going vegan and running marathons and building a business and trying these things that before that I hadn't tried at all and knew nothing about. And so my willingness to kind of just go out there and see what was possible grew my confidence in the process of trying those things.
It's really about practice.
Exactly. Yeah, and doing things over and over again. I mean, and before I ran marathons, I wasn't a runner. You know, I became a runner because I ran. And that's really all that it takes. Just doing things makes you better at those things. And that's really that simple.
Well, that's good stuff, man. So as we kind of bring this thing home here, what do you feel is important, you know, that we haven't talked about that our audience would benefit from about building a stronger life or stronger business? What would you want to share with them here, given the opportunity?
I think one of the things that's made the biggest difference in my life and what really has been the foundation for the 5 a.m. Miracle is the concept of being intentional with your life and really realizing that every day you have a choice of how you're going to live. And you can make any choice you want, whether it's a conscious choice or just kind of a, you know, oops, here's what I did today. And I think that whenever you have the opportunity to make an intentional choice to say, this is how I want to live, I'm going to map it out, put it on paper, put it in my task manager, you know, schedule it on my calendar, I'm going to decide how my life is going to go. It won't always work out how you plan it. There's going to be lots of bumps in the road and things are going to happen, but it's amazing to me how much more success I've experienced and how much more growth I've had because I have decided ahead of time how I want to live. And I know it sounds so simple to say that, but when you actually live out that life that way every single day and you decide every single morning, here's how today is going to go, you actually make so much progress. And it's so exciting to see that. And then it makes you want to do it again and again and again. And so, yeah, I think being intentional has got to be one of the most foundational concepts in my life that has made such a huge difference.
Well, that's good stuff. It's all about choices, taking control. Don't buy the lie that you're not in control of things.
Exactly.
Not everything, you know, control what you can control. So, well, Jeff, if somebody wants to hire you to speak or work with you, how do they reach you? What's the best way to get in touch?
JeffSanders.com is the website, so that's the best place to find my content. You can also just personally email me, which is jeff@jeffsanders.com. Also, the podcast is on iTunes, and that's where I'm at in the world. So if you want to get a hold of me, I'm pretty easy to find.
Awesome, and we'll put those in the show notes and all that. So, well, Jeff, I appreciate you hanging out with us today and encouraging us with your story. I can't thank you enough for being part of this.
Oh, thanks, Tom. It's been a lot of fun today.
Awesome. So everybody, listen up. As always, I ask you at the end to implement, you know, at least one thing that you heard from our guest today, and I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to challenge you for the next week, get up even just an hour earlier than you normally do and attack your day. Try it, see what happens, and share it with us. You know, shoot me an email at tom@motorhard.com, and I'd love to see how your life has gotten better by implementing some of the things that Jeff is shared with us. And make sure you get on to his website. He's got a lot of cool stuff on there that you can download to help you do this. And with that, we will We'll cut out of here and we'll see you guys next time on the Strongpreneur podcast. Thanks a lot. Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Jeff Sanders on the Strongpreneur podcast. Tomorrow, make a commitment to get up before the crack of dawn and get something done. Be more productive, be healthier, be stronger as an individual. If you wouldn't mind doing us a favor, head over to iTunes and give us a rating and a review for this podcast so that we can continue to spread the Strongpreneur message to as many people as we can and help entrepreneurs all over the world just like you. Appreciate you hanging out with us today, and you can always learn more and check out some other cool stuff at motorhard.com. See you next time.